New.
This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1079, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, is Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
And if you heard Friday's show, you know that Derek and Jamie are both out on vacation. Well, Derek's not on vacation. He's working. He's finishing up his new album. He's in L.A. right now. But joining us from L.A., once again, our friend, rapper, poet, coffee business owner, it's too many accolades to list. Propaganda.
Hey, if I could fly into the sky,
really?
I'd be the substitute, the third guy on the relevant pod.
I was new wondering ringtone. How you were going to top the awkwardness of last episode's intro.
Oh, baby, yes, sir.
You used Vanessa Carlton to do it. You used Vanessa Carlton. Saying? I appreciate that. Yeah.
That's great. We have a great show in store for you today. Coming up later, we talk to Lecrae. He joins us at the end of the show. We have a summer edition of Would You Rather. Also, today, we release the summer issue of Relevant. Our digital magazine is out. We feature Lauren Daigle on the cover. Huge new album. Big new season for her. Very excited to tell you all about the new issue. Emily will join us for that. And we'll take you behind the scenes on all the features and conversations we had. I'm excited for you guys to see it. So don't miss that segment. That's coming up later. We have slices coming up. But before we get rolling, listeners of Friday's show know that on Friday you dropped the fourth installment, your new album, the fourth installment of your Terraform series called The Possibilities. It's fantastic. We told people to go get it. They've heard it. We talked about the book. We've talked about the coffee. We talked about the larger vision for the project. But I wanted today to dig into the album a little bit more. For those of you who haven't heard it yet, we're going to play a few songs, a couple highlights from the project. But honestly, you need to just go get it. Just go get it. I mean, it's on Spotify and Apple Music and everywhere you get your music. So go get it. It's Terraform the Possibilities. But Prop, I wanted to talk today a little bit more about the album itself. Tell us about it, man.
Yeah, man, I do feel like this is my best work, man.
Unpack that. I want to know this. As a creator, do you feel everything you put out is the best thing you've done yet? Or have you ever released something where you thought, didn't quite land?
Yeah, it's the second where you're just like, it was good. I thought it was good. And then you come back and listen to it later and you could be like, dang, the one before that did, it worked better. You know, I never put out something that I'm questionable about, like where I'm just like, right. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I always at the time think it's quality. You know what I'm saying? Right. But is it my best work? And I'm like, I don't think so, man. There's so many elements. It's like, there's my writing, then there's the production, then there's the mixing, then there's when the timing. And it's like, did this really work? It felt good. It's not subpar, but I could look back and say, but that project, man, everything clicked, you know, some of it's magic. Like some of it, you just can't, I don't know what to say. It's just magic. You know what I mean? If you're familiar with my catalog, like I definitely thought, you know, in 2012 when Excellent came out, like I was like, yo, this is the best album I've ever made, you know? And at the time it was. Then fast forward to Crooked in 2017, I was like, nah, dude, that's the best record I've made. Then fast forward to 2021. So there's albums in between that, you know what I'm saying? And then 2021, when we started the Terraform project, the People EP with Malski, with DJ Malski, I was like, yeah, dude, we figured it out, you know? And I thought at that moment, like, yeah, I don't know if I'm ever going to top this EP, you know? And then this one came and it's just, I think I'm the type of artist where I can kind of fit anywhere. Because I'm just so eclectic, like I like so many different things. There's nowhere that I feel like, yo, this is 100% hand in glove. This is my lane. This is what I do. I just like too many things, you know. Like, you know, Lecrae is like one of my closest friends, and I'm like, we can work, but it's different. This album is produced by King's Kaleidoscope. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, well, Lecrae wouldn't do a King's Kaleidoscope thing. Like, that just doesn't work. But it works for me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I feel like, and then Derek mixed and mastered it. So you have somebody like Derek adding the boom bap to the crazy eclectic musical artistry that King's Kaleidoscope feels. I was just like, bang, nailed it. Like, this is all of the parts of me in one record and done, and it worked, you know, as a creative. Like, I can honestly say, because I'm a fan of hip hop too. Like, a lot of times people make stuff and they're not really a fan of the genre. I hate hearing rappers say that all the time, where it's like, I really don't listen to hip hop anymore. I'm like, whatever,
that's
bro.
Crazy.
Yeah, I'm not really, I don't really listen to that, whatever. Yeah. I listen to hip hop. I'm still a fan of hip hop. And I'm like, and I could tell you, even if I record a song, if I'm like, this song's trash, no one's ever gonna hear this because it's not good, you know? It won't come out the studio. This one, I'm like, I really believe this is my best album.
The crazy thing for me, thinking about like how that's I'm awesome, wired man. And create, and we create in very different lanes, mine's media and writing and stuff like that, is like, we'll pour our blood, sweat, and tears into an issue with a magazine when we were doing print or an article or a podcast or a project. And then like, I put it out, but I mean, obviously you're listening to it, you're reading it, you're going through it 20, 50 times. And then it's out. Cause I'm a tinkerer, right? Once it's out, I can never look at it again. I've never opened an issue of Relevant Magazine after it came off the press.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about the next one. I'm an Enneagram 7. So it's on to the next. And my next one's gonna be my best one. So I'm gonna beat whatever it was. And the thing that's weird to me about you guys, musicians, is that you put out an album that at the time, like you were just saying, was great. You felt it was your best work at that time. Mm-hmm. And then a year or two later, you've evolved, you have new ideas. You can't go back and tinker with that thing, but you still have to perform it.
Oh, God.
So it'd be like me, like pulling up a magazine from 5 years earlier,
having to read.
I got to read you an article that I wish I could re-edit. You know what I mean? Like, how do you deal with that tension of like, you don't love the stuff that your fans love as much as they love it, but you got to give them what they want. But, you know, they don't realize you moved on to a new era.
Revisit it. Yeah, truly. I think it's two parts. Yeah. One, it's like, again, once it's out, it doesn't belong to me no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, and again, since I'm a fan of music, I'm a fan of concerts. When I go to concerts, I want to sing along. I don't want to hear new music. I want to feel what I felt when I first heard this track. You know what I'm saying? So
Vanessa Carlton.
Big
inspiration.
That's exactly it. So at that point, I'm like, okay, this is dope. Like, one of the reasons I wanted to do music was because I wanted to provide for people what the music provided for me. Like, I was like, dang, I want to give that to people. You know what I'm saying? So part of you as a performer knows that this is a service to the crowd, and I'm providing a service to you. And then how I keep my sanity is like, if anybody's ever seen me perform, like I'm doing different things with it. It's like it's almost like performing means you get to tinker. You know what I'm saying? So since I'm performing it, I get to say things a little differently. I get to change up the chorus a little bit. It's so that now I'm giving you an experience live that isn't just like listening to the record, but at the same time, it's still that song. So in a lot of ways, you do get to tinker. The performance is the tinkering. You know what I'm saying? You get to add drops that you know should have been there. You know what I'm saying? I get to like change the beat up a little bit on the second verse. And I'm just like, I find out, which is kind of what you're saying, I enjoy the live version that I'm performing way better than the recorded one. You know what I'm saying? Because like you said, I'm doing it every night and I'm discovering doper things to do it. I'm just, and me and my DJ and the band are like coming up with different grooves that made the song lift even more, you know? So like, I am tinkering, you know what I'm saying?
That's cool. I didn't think of it like that. It's a living and breathing thing, that's cool. All right, so new album, seven tracks. It's the fourth installment in the Terraform series.
Yeah.
It's the last one and the best one. I mean, it really is as good as the other ones have been. This one's another level. Love the production, love everything about it. Let's give our listeners a little sample, little taste. We'll play a little clip. Tell us about it.
Yeah. I would say probably track two right now, which is called No Time.
All right, tell us about that song.
Yeah, that was the first beat they played for me that made me be like, okay, I want y'all to produce this record. So it's really on some like kind of fanagrammy you know, kind of sonic palette. And it's just, it's like, again, since the possibility is the idea of like, this is imagining the better future, is the culmination of all we were working towards. So each idea in this album is like the resolve, like, this is what I've learned, you know what I mean? And this is the world I'm trying to live in. So this No Time is about, you know, and living in the present, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want to wake up realizing that I've given away, grasping for something that wasn't there, whether it's my past, you know what I'm saying? Where you're grasping at the past, like you can't hold on to that, or grasping at the future, but just like, let's invest in our future. Let's enjoy where we're at right now, you know what I'm saying? And invest in where we're going. So yeah, like, so this one actually features Chad and Max from Ollie. But yeah, it's a fun track, man.
Here it is. You can change your location or stays on staycation, but the things you gotta face remains with no erasing. And procrastination might give a sensation that you cool with it all, yelling you don't wanna wake up. You hearing all my mirror talk, bargaining with fears cost. Corner of my eyes is the cross I better take up. You gon' have to face up. Homie, you just play tough. Homie, you just say stuff. You don't wanna wake up. Awesome. All right, what's another track we should highlight?
Man, probably Just Earth with New Skin. This one is when you hear the chorus, when you hear the chorus, like it's a C.S. Lewis reference. The idea of like moving further up and further in. It's the idea of the new heavens and the new earth, right? And just kind of examining what am I valuing? You know what I'm saying? And I want to value and again, not like looking for this like other place, like even just theologically speaking, like the new heavens and the new earth is what he's trying to say is like, well, it's this, it's here. It's just made right. It's here. Right. Correct. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of like saying, well, we can live like that now, like on earth as it is in heaven. Like, let's live like that now. Let's live as if, again, already, but not yet. You know what I'm saying? So let's live in that beauty right now. So this song's designed to be beautiful, you know.
Question about, like, you have like a concept like this, which is obviously really profound, and you know, there's some high concept stuff to it, but there's also like something that I feel like a lot of people, especially people who are Christians, can relate to. Do you take those themes and bring it to the producers, or do you kind of let their like different, you know, beats and like, what's the starting point, and how do you combine it in a track like this?
Yeah, usually I'm usually like the type of guy that like kind of writes in isolation, like send me stuff and I'll just go write. This was the first project, which again, why I think is so special, where we did discuss concepts, you know what I'm saying? Because I trust Chad very much as far as like what he's going to come up with, and that was actually
like his interpretation of
stuff. So they played the things, and you know, part of the experience even with this project was like I let myself be produced. So you create this the palette, like they sent me the ideas, and then yeah, we discussed them, you know what I'm saying? So generally this was, I've never worked in this process the way that we have now, but I think what I try to pride myself in and valuing is taking very lofty concepts and making them approachable. You know what I mean? Like that's something I value as an artist, you know, or at least I try to do. So I feel like unless I told you that it was this high and lofty idea, you wouldn't know. You would just be like, it's a cool song. You know what I'm saying?
Well, here it is. This cannot be the whole goal of existence. Talking further up, further in. It's just earth with new skin. Talking about further up, further in. It's just earth with new skin. Talking about skin. Talking about. Talking about. Further up, further in. It's just earth. All right, last one, little sampler. It's seven tracks on the EP. We're doing three. We're going to highlight three of them.
Yeah.
What's the last one we want to leave them with? If you weren't convinced on the first two samples we just gave you, here's the one that's going to seal the deal.
All right, so this last one is called The Endling. And this is a surprise for me. Like, I actually didn't think everyone that I played this record, I didn't think people would stop on this one, but they have, right? So I'm kind of like rapping on this one. This is for those who like have known me since Tunnel Rats, you know what I'm saying? So like This is getting the bars out. Now, the song's called The Endling. And a little Easter egg I'm going to reveal for my whole career, which I feel like Relevant's been the only outlet that's been around my whole career.
What about Rapzilla? You were giving them some love online the other day.
Oh, yeah. That they have been around my whole career. You're right.
I forgot about them. I mean,
I apologize. I'm sorry, Rapzilla. I apologize. Respect on your name. As a matter of fact, they was there during the Tunnel Rat years, so I apologize.
That's right.
My whole solo career would be Relevant. I apologize. But what I have done on every album is there's an Easter egg on every album for my next project. Like on all of them, I've always dropped either the name or the concept of the next project on every record. And you just have to go find them, right? I'm not going to tell you, but this is the only time I'm going to tell you. So The Endling is the Easter egg for my next book. You know, so the next book is actually built around the concept of The Endling. But so cool. Check this one out. We rapping on this.
Here it is. Becoming an endling. Becoming an endling. Palo Santo and saves the fragrance. Greatest brujarista can't contain it. Contagion of a deep thinker. Can't say just how deep the cave gets. Y'all watching Jupiter's phases, pretending y'all amazing. Most occasions leave a stage aching, screaming Jason. We call you by your government to hear just how desperate. How we ever let it get mission drift to. All right, you've heard three songs. It's out now. It came out on Friday. If you heard Friday's show, you know it is out now. Go get it yourself. Get it on every platform that you get music on.
Yep.
Go support great art. This is good stuff. You're going to love it. And while you're at it, get the book. Get some coffee. Book. Get the coffee. Sip the coffee while you're reading the book and listening to the album. I mean, it's a whole thing. Get a leather chair, experience. Quiet room. Just do it. Set up
promo code Relevant. 15% off.
There you go.
TerraformColdBrew.com.
TerraformColdBrew.com.
Perfect. All right. Well, let's move the show along. Coming up next, it's Slices. Listening to Bo Millie, the song is Making Friends. How do you do that as an adult? It's weird. Today's show is brought to you in part by the new documentary Buying Her. Why is sex trafficking a multi-billion-dollar industry? Sex buyers. To end trafficking, we need to put them in the spotlight. The documentary Buying Her, created by the organization Exodus Cry, is a first-of-its-kind film exposing the truth about sex buyers. It captures the unfiltered stories of men revealing how they became predatory consumers and the booming sex trade, and how some of them found redemption. Buying Her strikes at the very heart of sex trafficking, and it's available to watch now for free at buyingher.com. Okay, it's time for
Slices.
It's going to be a short one because we only have two slices today because I didn't bring one. Jason, our producer, is your mic on? Did you bring a slice?
Nah, man. Don't have one.
See? All right. We got two slices in. Okay. Jesse, what do you have?
Well, you know what really outrages me? And I'm a person that is constantly looking for something new to be outraged about. Mostly things that don't affect me directly. But if they did affect me directly, I'd be extra outraged. And I need people... Yeah. To be able to hear about that.
Yes.
And make it the primary thing that I'm known for online is whatever is just outraging me that day. The world needs my grievances because I came from a place of real righteousness. I think you guys can all relate here. And nothing outrages me more than when a brand is selling items that don't perfectly align with every one of my values, even though I'm no way obligated to shop that for that product or with that brand.
Yes.
Nothing outrages me.
Well,
more.
You're not alone in this, I think. I think a lot of America agrees with you.
I'm kind of a pioneer. I'm trying to show people the way to really infect enact change and point people in the right direction. And, you know,
I think you just said infect, not affect, but yeah, same point.
Freudian slip there. that's why I was just, you know, absolutely in full grievance mode. Mm-hmm. In recent days, when I saw what Hobby Lobby was doing, just when I thought that I had access to a real sale chain. Now, full disclosure, I don't shop at Hobby Lobby because I'm not a big hobbyer, but still this outraged me.
Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I have this story came out that I'm not going to give it away. You give it away. But this story came out a few days ago and I had dinner with my parents that night that we posted it. And they were talking about, because my parents and I are very different and they get outraged about things that I do not.
I
and
relate.
They were talking about certain brands that had let them down. And I threw out there, well, I can't believe your beloved Hobby Lobby is now, you know, one of those brands.
Yeah.
Their mouths dropped. They couldn't believe it. And I told them very straight faced, everything you're about to tell us, as though it was completely true. And they were so disappointed.
Yeah, this is so funny. No,
but again, even though I don't shop at Hobby Lobby or I don't drink Bud Light, I am very, very mad at them. And an image went viral that was evidently taken in Hobby Lobby that showed aisles in the store. Which are filled with little knickknacks and crafting things. I've never even actually been in a Hobby Lobby, but you get the idea.
Some parts of it's like a Michael's Crafts. Some parts of it's like a Home Goods. You know what I mean? It's kind of a both end.
I've never in my life stepped foot in a Hobby Lobby. But anyway, go on.
And in these photos of these aisles full of like picture frames and like little wooden letters that you can use, for, you know, little for your last name on your mantle or live life love or live laugh love kitchen decor were the most heavy metal, awesome statues I've ever seen. They are straight up like, you know, demonic figures sitting on a throne. They're all like blacked, murdered out, like blacked out, you know, big horns with like, you know, goat hooves on the hands. I'm talking the most metal home decor you've ever seen in your life. Like straight if I had a music studio, it would be like, let's do some Metallica in here. Like
they are going in there.
Yeah. You know, comically demonic. Okay.
Like, which is shocking because Hobby Lobby, such a Christian company.
And the thing is, like, they are massive. Like everything else in there is a trinket. These things are bigger than life size. Like these are like 8-foot demon statues. Yeah. Obviously, they're hilarious images to see them on the aisle next to little, you know, trinkets and you know, crafting supplies. I think the average person would probably come across this and realize this is some sort of joke. But this is
not outrage TikTok.
No. Because we have to hold brands account to our ever changing goalpost of moral standards.
There you go.
These images went viral and a lot of people were openly on TikTok and Twitter expressing outrage about how Hobby Lobby could start selling this. Now it wasn't until a little bit of time later that it was revealed that the images were actually produced using the AI image creation software Midjourney, which is a lot of fun to move around on, and aren't real. They were just AI performance art, right? Like someone created the images and posted them on a, you know how things spread on the internet.
On Reddit.
But it was a really
She did
funny,
it as a joke for a Reddit thread. It's just like, hey, you know, look what I saw. And then people grabbed it and then took it to TikTok and it went crazy. She said it took her like 10 minutes on Midjourney. She just like click, click, satanic statue at Hobby Lobby.
Literal
and
joke.
It looks totally real.
But I think the entire, more than just the imagery itself, the whole exercise is a pretty funny piece of performance art just to show, you know, how easily sort of, you know, I hate to use the term, but like triggered some people can be online, even if what is triggering them is detached from the reality of the situation, especially when it comes to like retail brands. Anyway, I thought it was, I thought the whole thing was very funny.
Also, I never told my parents at that dinner that they were fake or made with AI. I just, I pulled up the photos and showed it to them as proof. I was like, yeah, look, they're selling this now. Can you believe that? Hobby Lobby's gone woke.
Business model. But the thing is too, like, how hard would you have to even like think, like, what would the market be for 8-foot demon statues? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
maybe at Halloween. I don't know.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Home Depot sells those 30-foot tall skeletons, you know?
Yeah. What market researcher at Hobby Lobby walked in with a proposal and was like, listen, dude, we want to acquire some new, a new fan base. And there's this lane we just haven't been tapping into. A cult.
Witches. Yeah, witches.
If they're going to come in here and protest us anyway. Yeah. They're coming in and they're boycotting. They're already coming in. What if they come in and they see something? They go, oh, wait a minute. We thought they were lame. Yeah. And we found these demon statues that had to have been the
argument. Sounds like smart business, expanding your customer base. It's great.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it turns out it was all fake. And people, just a word to the wise, it's 2023. You cannot believe your eyes. You can't believe what you see or what you hear. Please source it. Fact check. Be more media literate. Don't go see a photo and then jump on your TikTok and rant about it. Like, maybe just check.
I was going to say, especially in this season of like, I mean, we're in election season, guys, please don't believe these ads, man. You know, because... how easy is it? Like, there was already one, passed around with like Trump hugging Anthony Fauci. And it was like, well, this is Midjourney. Like, that didn't really happen. Like, so you can't, y'all, like, have some literacy, man, you know?
Well, and
test
beyond,
these images.
And even when images like this turn out to be authentic, choose your battles. You know what I'm saying? Like, we as Christians aren't necessarily supposed to be the enforcers of, you know, morality here. But early Christians didn't seek power. They tried to speak to it, right? Like, that was the model of the early church, right? Like,
let's go, Jesse.
There's a difference between trying to exercise power and trying to speak to that power so that, you know, they understand that the heart of the gospel isn't about enforcing social and moral standards. It's about turning people to Christ and embracing, you know, the heart of the gospel. So again, I think because of all those reasons, this whole incident was very funny to me.
I get you. I hear your heart and I agree with it. But also there would be people who are the people who genuinely do feel offended or like, quit imposing your, you know, it's a do unto others as you'd have them do unto you thing. Like, you wouldn't have big Christian propaganda in your secular store. Why do you have things that offend Christians, you know, propaganda in your secular store? So I think, you know, the people who are truly offended with the right heart, I mean, they would point to Jesus turning over the money changers in the temple and things like that, where he did say, enough is enough, this isn't appropriate. And they stood up to the powers that be, not just passively speak to
him. But real quick, he didn't go and smash idols to other gods in the marketplace.
He flipped Paul over the tables
in his own temple.
In his own temple.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't going into the temple of Baal or whatever and smashing it up or protesting pagans or protesting any of these, you know, activities that, you know, the Romans were doing or whomever he was speaking to. He understood, like, our battles aren't flesh and blood here. Like, if I'm going to be offended by people who don't share my worldview, then I'll spend my life offended. Instead, maybe I should reach those people and try to understand their worldview, and instead of just trying to make them feel like I'm going to destroy their livelihoods if they don't.
Or just Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, you could just like leave and then burn it to the ground. You know, you just don't, you boycott the Target and then you just burn the building to the ground. I think that's the logical next step.
Prop, what was your
option? Yes, exactly. I was going to go where you were going, where it was like, well, he flipped tables in his own temple. And that's what that's where it happened. But I was going to say, like, a little bit of like, okay, guys, let's everybody calm down. It's just a corporation, you know, and it doesn't really care. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so what I think about, like, let's pick, I'll pick on everybody right now. Like, so when the left and the secular world was boycotting Chick-fil-A for the mm-hmm. Sundays and their stance on the LGBTQ, like, Chick-fil-A didn't care. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, you say whatever you want. We gonna still sell this chicken. You know, I'm not gonna, it doesn't matter, which is corporation. You know what I'm saying? So on the same time, when that same world was boycotting Hobby Lobby over their birth control, Hobby Lobby didn't care. They're fine. So now on the other way around, like, Anheuser-Busch doesn't care. You know what I'm saying? That mm-hmm. you're boycotting, mm-hmm. but they don't care.
They care. You know? Anheuser-Busch cares now. The irony, we're recording this on Wednesday.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was like, that was my point I was going to make, because they own Modelo. So,
well, I wasn't going to say they do. Oh. They do own Modelo. But the irony is, last night, there was a major, like, global marketing awards in France in Cannes. And it's like the Oscars for marketing and advertising. And the agency of the year, the campaign of the year, was Anheuser-Busch. And the vice president of marketing, who's been there for 20 years, had to get up there and, like, accept this award, which was awarded before the Dylan controversy in February. Yeah. And so, like he was, like, they won this award prior to their business collapsing. Literally, they've lost, like, their sales were down 27% this month over last month, 26% the month before that. They have collapsed. And he had to get up there and accept this award for being the best marketing department in the globe, which is hilarious to me. And he talked about how they humbly didn't understand their consumers well enough. And he had to basically just eat crow the entire time.
Okay. Well, anyway. I stand corrected on my last point. I apologize.
He's like, but hey, remember those frogs? Remember those frogs?
Those frogs were amazing.
What? Listen,
the point I was making about that is, like, now Modelo is the number one beer in America, and they also own Modelo. So I'm like, okay, so one property sucks. On that.
In the U.S., Anheuser-Busch brews Modelo. But it's this weird thing where globally Anheuser-Busch InBev owns Modelo in every country of the world except for the U.S. It's this weird thing where the U.S. distributor is outside of InBev Anheuser-Busch, but still hires Anheuser-Busch to brew the actual beer. So it's like Anheuser-Busch is getting the Modelo money left and right globally and domestically, and people are, like, not buying Anheuser-Busch and they're buying Modelo.
It's not dissimilar from that episode of Seinfeld where Elaine gets outraged by poor customer service at, like, this, like, exotic clothing store. And she goes out of her way to try to essentially do the Seinfeld version of canceling a business, which is, you know, trying to destroy some of the merchandise to comic effect, only to find out that she is actually that the store that she's driving the customers to is owned by the same person.
Like every glasses store is owned by the same company. Every mattress store is owned by the same company.
But what an unintentionally funny commentary on cancel culture, decades before that was even a thing.
Not going to drink Anheuser-Busch anymore. And Natural Light is down. Michelob Ultra is down. All of the Anheuser-Busch stuff that people know are Anheuser-Busch has dropped. Yeah. 20% or more since the controversy, except they're buying Modelo now, which is
also Anheuser-Busch,
which is so crazy to me. Okay. All right. Well, people are stupid. I think the whole point of this is be more media literate, people. That's it. Just be more media literate. That's all we want.
And worry about issues that affect people's lives and not just random companies trying to sell merch to people you may or may not agree with. Like, there's real suffering out there. There's real issues that affect people, pretty dramatically. And you only have so many spins around the sun here. You only got so many breaths that you can use in your life. I'm not trying to sound, self-righteous here, but I'm just saying, like, is this the thing you want to, you want to spend your life worrying about? Yeah. Sorry, that's my own high horse of, like, come on, guys. Like, what are we focused on here?
Mm-hmm. Well, I said it's going to be a short slices, but we have fully run out of time for this segment. So, Prop, you're off the hook, man. We got this. I think this is the first time in 15 plus years, we had a one item slice segment.
Wow.
This is unprecedented. Look at us. All right. Stay tuned up next. Lecrae joins us. Somehow it's funny because of you. It's funny when it comes to us. You're listening to Kiana Lede and Khalid. The song is Where You Go. Are you a recent college grad or about to graduate from college and have no idea what's next? Check out the Global Ambassador Program, or GAP, with ELIC. GAP is a professional development program that will help you gain the tools you need for a lifetime of impact. Be immersed in the cultures of Thailand, Tunisia, or Uzbekistan for 9 months as you take language classes, grow in your faith, and serve the local community alongside a team of other Christian young professionals. And get this, ELIC recently opened applications for 2026. You could be on a plane next summer, impacting lives and reaching your fullest potential. To learn more about GAP and take the next step, go to elic.org/relevant. That's elic.org/relevant. Well, our guest today is Lecrae. You know him. He's a friend of the show. He's been a friend of the magazine for years, and he's, you know, probably the biggest name in Christian hip hop. He's a Grammy Award winning artist and president of Reach Records. Not too long ago, he released his latest album called Church Closed 4, the final chapter of his acclaimed mixtape series. We had him on in November when it released, and we wanted to have him back to talk more about it. So here's part of our conversation with Lecrae.
Where church is a Broadway production for relevance. We traded the kingdom to build an empire so people don't trust us, apparently. We worship economy. We'll kill our own babies to keep our autonomy. You mess with our Second Amendment, we...
Why did you decide to make, you know, volumes? Like, you know, instead of just doing, like, a different album, like, why did you want to do a volume?
I think we realized that there was something uniquely special about Church Close. When the first one dropped, and it just kind of shut down the mixtape website, we realized, like, we really hit a nerve in the culture. And there was just something uniquely powerful about it. And I think my team helped me understand, like, this is probably my, when I, in my most freest, authentic self as an artist. And so in order to capture that consistently, where it's kind of like, hey, we're not gonna have a lot of bells and whistles, and we're not gonna go hunt down a John Legend feature. We're just gonna make great, whatever comes to mind, we're gonna make the music. That's Church Close. And so we just said, let's do this regularly, and here we are.
How do you feel like you've changed as an artist and as a human since the first one dropped?
Oh my gosh.
Maybe a little bit.
Just a tad, you know. As an artist, I definitely have grown. You know, I'm extremely comfortable with my voice, and I honestly feel like I've gotten better because I'm really a student of the craft. Whereas some artists just kind of live in their moment. I still want to continue growing, learning, and evolving. And as a person, man, I've just, life experiences, man, life comes at you fast. And so that's going to transform you, you know, how you navigate all the experiences that you've had to endure.
So I would also love to know, like, what would you say to someone who's coming up and they maybe have these ideas, they have this message they want to share, but they just don't know, like, where to start? Like, how, you know, how can someone get their message or their creativity out there?
Yeah, no, that's really good and helpful. One, I would say, you know, begin. You just got to begin, right? You got to begin crafting. And it's probably not going to be the greatest thing you ever made. Like, that's just the reality of it. whether you're writing or whatever kind of art or creativity you are expressing, you got to do it. You know, my philosophy is every song that I write needs to be written. They may not all need to be recorded, but they all need to be written because I need to get that out. And I would just tell a creative, like, man, go for it. Push yourself and study the craft of other people who do it well, even if you don't share their worldview. And don't worry about being boxed in or pigeonholed. Like, create a new picture of what it can look like for a believer to make great art. Before Lord of the Rings, there was no Lord of the Rings. So someone had to create it, you know? And so I think similarly, before me, there was no me. It was kind of like there were other people doing similar things, but I had to just move in the lane that I was inspired to move in. And I think my mother used to always tell me, you know, if you do what you love, eventually someone will pay you for it. And I think if you do it and do it well, people will want to gravitate toward that. And they may not pay you, but whatever it looks like, they'll gravitate toward it. My mama told my uncle he gonna end up on a shirt. Took me on a mission, show me how to put in work. They say when you see the option, squeeze until it hurts. That was Lecrae. Make sure to check out Church Clothes 4 wherever you get your music. It's great. All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's your look at the brand new issue of Relevant. How colorful the many ways you meet us. Can't believe the places that we see ya. All your revelations are so genius.
Kaleidoscope Jesus.
Show me you are unpredictable. A thousand stories I could tell.
You're listening to none other than Lauren Daigle. The song is Kaleidoscope Jesus. Why did we play Lauren Daigle in the break? Because she's on the cover of the brand new issue of Relevant. Okay, so once again, joining me is our very own Downtown Emily Brown to tell us all about the new issue.
Hey, y'all.
So behind the scenes, I have told people that you were away on vacation, but behind the scenes, you have just come back from vacation. So you are fresh and rested and ready to launch this issue. We're excited to have
you
back.
Very ready.
Yeah.
Yes. Glad to be back. Glad to share this with the world. Very excited.
So our summer issue of Relevant, as you know, since we stopped doing print magazines in 2020, we do 4 quarterly digital issues each season, and this is our summer issue where we've been working on it for months. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the cover story is with Lauren Daigle. She has a huge new album after a 5-year hiatus. It is very different sound for her, and that sound is intentional because it's a different season for her. Emily, you talked to her. Tell us about the conversation.
Yeah, it was a really fun conversation. Right from the get-go, she just was very honest about this new season of life that she's been in, just all the ups and downs. But, you know, it's Lauren Daigle, so she's excited about it. And it was just really cool to get to talk with her and hear it. And I'm really excited for everyone to not only hear her album, but also get to read this piece and get a little more behind the scenes of what was happening while she was creating this.
And not to spoil anything, but like happy-go-lucky, bubbly Lauren Daigle really opened up about like not being happy, bubbly Lauren Daigle for a couple of years.
Yeah.
There. Like she really went through it and told us all about it. So you don't want to miss that. Also in the issue, you know, we cover faith, life, culture, justice. A couple of our huge name faith leaders are in this issue. Number one of my heroes, Mount Rushmore, Christine Kane is in the issue talking about how to get spiritually unstuck. So many of us probably felt that for the last couple of years, feeling spiritually stuck. So we talked to her about how to like be intentional to get out of that season, which is something I think a lot of us need to probably hear right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think talking with her, you know, just realizing how much everyone talks about, you know, we want things to go back to normal. We want things to be how they used to be. And she is just in the most Christine Kane way saying, nope, that's not right. We're going to move forward. We're going to get unstuck and go after what's next. And it was just a really encouraging conversation. So I think it's a message that everyone, no matter where you are in life, you definitely want to hear it.
Absolutely. Here's a clip of, no, I'm kidding. It's just going to be her preaching for a minute. Also, hey,
maybe we need that.
Yeah, actually, no show would be worse off from having a minute of Christine Kane preaching, just inserted into the middle of it. On the music side, we talked to one of our favorite bands, Arizona. They're I think it's a common theme with a lot of artists, like coming out of the COVID era, like they're just ready for something new and pursuing something new, and they're doing that too.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I was not prepared to go so existential with them, but it was a really fun conversation, just talking about the way things have changed, both just in their life and music, even in their faith. They opened up about that, and I just really appreciated their honesty throughout the whole conversation.
Arizona's been in the magazine a couple of times now, but I don't think they've ever opened up about their faith lives and the fact that, like, one of the guys grew up in the church, and it all came out in this conversation. It's really fascinating. You don't want to miss that. Here's a clip of Arizona's new album. Also, on the culture side, we talked to worship leader Naomi Rain. She, you know, was on the cover of Relevant. She's obviously a huge part of Maverick City music. She's on a huge new tour called It's Time with a couple of other major worship leaders. But she has a new solo album coming out, and that's really what we wanted to talk to her about.
We joked about just playing a clip of Christine Kane preaching, and you might expect us to play a clip of Naomi Rain singing, but that conversation, I felt like I was being preached to in the best way. She's got a lot of good things to say, and I'm just so grateful to sit down with her anytime she's got some new music coming out.
Here is a clip of her not preaching, but singing. Here's Naomi Rain. We also talked to, on the faith side of things, a friend of mine, a pastor that I respect immensely, Judah and Chelsea Smith. We talked to what I love about Judah's preaching is he's not just a great preacher. He's also a teacher. Like, there's substance in his sermons as opposed to some preachers that are just a little bit maybe more hypey, you know. I love the substance of his teaching, and his wife Chelsea is just an amazing teacher as well. I don't know if you follow her on IG at all, but she posts great content. Do you follow her?
I have started following her after the interview because I just was listening to it. I was blown away, like, with all the wisdom they had. It was so
good. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Are you putting Judah on your Mount Rushmore?
Oh yeah. Judah's on my current Mount Rushmore. So it'd be Christine Kane, Judah Smith. I'm going to go like an OG, like T.D. Jakes. I love T.D. Jakes. And then you got like the Tim Keller type level.
Yeah, he's on mine.
Oh, N.T. Wright. He'd be on mine. N.T. Wright. If we're just going,
ooh, that's a good one.
You know, current. Got to go current. If we're going all time, Jesus would be on there. But if we're going just current, I'd put N.T. Wright.
Okay, that's the most like Sunday school answer I've ever. Jesus would be on my Mount Rushmore if we're doing all time.
Yeah. What about you?
That's a pretty solid Mount Rushmore. Mine, Christine Kane for sure.
Okay.
Beth Moore.
Okay.
I'm doing all time, so I am going to include Tim Keller. Okay.
Well, then you have to have Jesus then.
I was getting to that. Yeah, Jesus would be the last one.
So you put Beth Moore on par? On the faces are all side by side?
No, Jesus's would be bigger. I haven't seen Mount Rushmore in person. Is one face bigger than the others?
No, they're all four the same. They just face different angles.
Well, on my Mount Rushmore, one would be bigger, and that one would be Jesus.
Okay. And then you have Tim Keller, Christine Kane, and Beth Moore.
And Beth Moore.
I like
it. I'm feeling good about my Mount Rushmore, personally.
I like it. Yeah, it's good. All right. Yeah, so they talk about why you should risk everything. It's a great piece. You don't want to miss that. Let's see. We also have a think piece. We always love talking about the intersection of faith and science. And we have a piece on AI and the future of the church. And we talked to a lot of experts that are really dealing with this question.
Yeah, it was really fascinating reading this piece because we really are at the beginning of this conversation. You know, AI has in a way been around for years, but it's really taken off these last couple months. And all the experts are just saying, like, you know, we can't wait too long to have this conversation. We really need to be having and asking these questions now and trying to figure out where does the church fit into this. So it was really informative and really insightful. So if you have a lot of questions, even if you have a lot of fears, I'd really suggest reading this piece.
I had a lunch last week with a older faith leader and a younger guy who worked for him. And the younger guy and I were talking about AI and all these amazing tools that we now have at our disposal with obviously the AI update to Photoshop. And obviously we know ChatGPT and all the others that are rolling out very, very quickly and all the applications that are rolling out 1,000 a week and all this stuff. Amazing tools. And the older faith leader was like trying to take notes and was like, he just stopped us and he goes, I understand none of this. Like, what are you all talking about? You know? And we're like, never mind. Don't worry about it. You know, like, but like, that's what's happening right now is like, literally major faith leaders have never even heard of what's actually happening. And it's happening so rapidly. It's inevitably going to shape how we create, how we interact, how we connect. And the church definitely needs to be in this conversation. So we're trying to do our part. Also in the issue, we talked to pop artist Andy Grammer. He has a new album coming out. Here is a clip.
What I really love about Andy's new album is that it just spreads such a really positive message, which I think is something we could all use right now.
Yeah. Andy Grammer. There you go. We also have, you know, justice issues. Obviously, it's a terrible year. I mean, a terrible year. I should probably give some qualifications for that. In the sense of gun violence, it has been a terrible year. It is the top... What is it? The more mass shootings this year than ever in recorded history since they've been tracking those things. And it's getting worse. And so we're trying to take a new look at the conversation around gun reform, because obviously a lot of conservatives who are in our audience in the conservative platform is Second Amendment rights, don't touch our guns. And a lot of the more progressive side of Christianity, it's Jesus was nonviolent and we should turn the other cheek and we shouldn't be about guns. And so like there's these two factions, not equal factions, but two factions within Christianity. And so we wanted to explore, is there a third way to talk about gun reform that from a biblical perspective, a Jesus perspective, we could maybe navigate these very partisan waters that we're in. And it is a fascinating discussion with a lot of leaders in that conversation. So you don't want to miss that piece as well. We also talked to a friend of the podcast. We love him, folk artist Drew Holcomb has a new album coming out. Here's a clip.
I got a heart that burns, baby. I got a tree that yields fruit. I got a clock that keeps on ticking. I got a ship that sails true.
Yeah, I've had Drew's album on repeat for a while now. It's just so fun.
You were at a lake house for the last week.
I was.
Drew Holcomb's music is perfect for a week at the lake house.
Yeah, Drew, if you're listening, this is how you should be marketing your album, Lake House Music. It's the
lake
perfect
house music,
vibe.
Mountain house music. It's just like you want to simplify, detox off of tech, put on a Drew Holcomb album and just be with family and friends. You know, just vibe. Like, just yep. Vibe. Yeah. All right. Last but not least, we have Icons Switchfoot. It's the 20th anniversary of The Beautiful Letdown, and they tell us the untold story behind that album. It's a fantastic feature. Here is a clip of their remake of The Beautiful Letdown.
We were meant to live the summer's fall. We lost ourselves.
So, 10 features, summer issue of Relevant. It's out now. How do you read all these? You go to relevantmagazine.com and you click on the magazine tab, and they're right there. They're available for free for you to read. It is...
Ta-da!
Couldn't be simpler. Couldn't be simpler. Now, if you want a beautifully designed, enhanced reading experience similar to our print magazine, but even better because it's digital, if you subscribe to Relevant Plus, you get that. You get the enhanced digital edition. It has multimedia and video and motion, and it's just beautifully designed. And it's perfectly formatted for your tablet or your phone or your screen, whatever you want to read it on. You get that as part of Relevant Plus. You can find out all about Relevant Plus by clicking the Relevant Plus tab right there, relevantmagazine.com. So go check out the new issue. It is available right there for free, or sign up to get our enhanced edition with Relevant Plus. You won't regret it. It's the best way to experience our content. Emily, great job. You killed it. Team did a great job on this issue. I can't wait for everybody to see it. It's out now, everybody. Literally today. Go check out the summer issue of Relevant. Thanks, Emily.
Thanks, y'all. Bye.
You're listening to Boy Genius. You know who's in Boy Genius. Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridges, Lucy Dacus. Song is Not Strong Enough. What if you could change a child's life with just $10? Right now, thousands of vulnerable children in East Africa are suffering from jiggers. It's a painful, preventable parasite that burrows into their feet. Soul Hope is the only organization treating it through foot washing, medical care, and durable closed-toed shoes that protect kids long after treatment. $10 may not seem like much in today's world, but when we come together, those small gifts add up to big change. Join the 10 for 10 campaign. $10 protects 10 small toes. Visit soulhope.org/10 to give now. One small gift makes a big difference. Again, that's soulhope, soulehope.org/TEN. Okay, so if you heard a week ago, we played a summer edition of Would You Rather. Now, we wanted to play it with prop too. So okay. These are just simple Would You Rather questions. Here's the twist, prop, okay. Is we had AI write them. So oh my gosh. Told AI that we wanted a summer themed game of Would You Rather, and this is what it came up with, unedited. What we learned last week when we played with some of these questions is that AI thinks that summer is all about ice cream. What was the other thing, Jesse? It was like swimming pools and ice cream was like almost every question. It was so weird.
Oh my god, I was but like anyway. So apparently AI has only seen summer in 80s movies.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Which is not bikinis, bad, which isn't ice bad cream thing.
Yep. Yeah. All right, here we go. So here's a couple of Would You Rathers. Jason, if you want to join us, we can do a three-person. Hey, Jason.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, hi.
Do you want to sing any Vanessa Carlton to introduce yourself?
You know, I was real tempted, but I think Prop just brought us home on that, so I'm going to let him have it.
It's tough to follow.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, Prop, you're up first. Would you rather have a sun visor that projects images of dancing flamingos onto your face, or a beach towel that screams every time you lie down on it?
Oh, the sun visor.
AI is so weird, first of all, that it came up with this.
A sun visor.
That projects images of dancing flamingos onto your face, or a beach towel that screams every time you lie down.
Towel that screams, like, what? Okay.
How did AI come up with
Get
that?
Get off me, please.
I know ChatGPT AI is just a reflection of us. It's just us. It's just pulling from things we've said and putting them all together. It's not thinking forward. It's just connecting the next word, which just means like, okay, I guess we're weird too. Anyway, go on.
Jason, would you rather always to have to wear a life jacket in your backyard pool, or have a permanent umbrella attached to your head?
Okay, this is actually a really easy one for me because for folks that don't know anything about me, I'm bald. So the permanent umbrella actually would be a win. I think I'd like
a permanent umbrella attached to your head?
Dude, listen, constant shade.
You're on a date and you wouldn't have an umbrella sticking out of your head?
Right. You know what? If it's raining, really convenient. Just kind of lean over. Is. You know, she's good. I'm good. Yeah, I'm in there for that.
It makes her have to sit closer to you because you can give her shade.
That's right. Scooch give on in, shade. Babe. There's shade. There's, yeah, no rain. It's perfect.
Jesse, would you rather have the power to make ice cubes instantly appear in your pockets or the ability to summon a cloud that rains lemonade?
Whoa.
I'm not curating these at all. I'm just reading down a list that AI wrote.
I mean, the lamest superpowers ever, but I guess the lemonade cloud.
Yeah. Think how good it would be at a party, though, if you could just instantly have ice cubes in your pocket. Like, hey, I have ice. Here you go.
That's gross. I'm not putting that in my drink.
I think I'd rather provide lemonade.
Yeah. All right.
Lemonade's the way.
Hey, go outside. Get a cup. Go outside.
But lemonade coming from the sky is going to make everything sticky. The sugar after it dries.
Oh, it has sugar in it?
Lemonade.
Could it be sugarless lemonade? So it's like lemon water and you add your... And then it's cleaning everything.
The diet lemonade from Chick-fil-A? Splenda?
I'll take either.
Prop. I have no idea. All right, Prop, you're up. Here we go again. No curation. Oh, would you rather have your ice cream... Again, ice cream. Would you rather have your ice cream always taste like pickles or your sunscreen always smell like pizza?
Oh, my God. Let's see. Ice cream tastes like pickles or sunscreen...
smell like pizza.
I'd go with the pickled ice cream. Okay. One, because I'm lactose intolerant, so I'm not going to eat it anyway. And then the sunscreen one's kind of weird too, because God gave me sunscreen called melanin.
Yep.
So it's like,
yeah, Derek informed all of our white listeners last week about this.
it's called melanin. I'm fine.
All right, Jason, would you rather be able to perfectly predict the weather, but only during a full moon, or have the ability to teleport, but only to the nearest ice cream shop?
Oh,
come on.
Give me the teleportation to the ice cream shop. Are you kidding? Who cares about the weather?
Theoretically, you could teleport across the country, just ice cream shop by ice cream shop. Yeah.
Just boom. Yes, let's go.
I don't get this one, Jesse. All right, this is where we're going to wrap it up. We've run out of time. Jesse, would you rather have your summer vacation photos always include a photobombing seagull or have your beach towel become a portal to an alternate dimension every time you sit on it? I think these are
dramatically equal. Different stakes here.
Yes. A photobombing seagull in photos.
Or I have a beach towel that it alters the fabric of reality. I'm going to the beach towel, I think.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's not even a question.
I know. That's so weird. Oh, my gosh. Like I said last week, you can play at home. Just go to ChatGPT and tell it to write you a bunch of would you rather questions that are summer themed. And you can... be just as bewildered as we are with the results.
Endless fun.
For real. All right. Well, Prop, thanks for joining us, man. Again, the album is out now. Go check it out. Terraform Project. It's part four. The book's out. TerraformColdBrew.com. Use promo code relevant to get 15% off. Appreciate your generosity with that. But everybody, seriously, go check it out. It's a great project. You heard a little bit of it already. But go spread the word. It's a big deal.
Thank you, guys.
Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Lecrae for joining us. Make sure to check out Church Clothes 4 or the remix. It's Church Clothes 4 Dry Clean Only. Came out a couple months ago. It's really good. 6 extra tracks on that one. Remember, the new issue of Relevant is out now. It features Lauren Daigle on the cover and a stellar lineup of amazing artists and influencers, faith leaders like Christine Kane, Judah and Chelsea Smith, some think pieces on gun reform, AI, and the future of the church. It's a stacked lineup. Don't miss it. It's available for free. Just click the magazine tab at relevantmagazine.com. If you want the beautifully designed, enhanced digital edition, it's available as part of the Relevant Plus subscription, which gives you ad-free reading, unlimited reading at relevantmagazine.com, an ad-free version of this podcast, an exclusive weekly subscriber podcast, and more. Plans start as low as $250 a month, and it is the best way to experience our content. Go check it out. You can find out all the info on the Relevant Plus tab at the website. Also, if you like the music that you hear on the show, check out our Spotify playlist. We have not only Heard on the Relevant Podcast, which is our biggest one. We update it every week, but we also have a worship and indie and hip hop playlist as well that we update regularly. You should check those out. If you don't follow us on socials, you should. We're on Twitter and Facebook all day, every day. We're on Instagram sometimes. We're on TikTok even less, but that will change. By the way, we have some openings for social media content managers if you want to check that out and help boost our presence on those platforms. Okay, on that note, we'll wrap it. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I am Propaganda.
We will see you on Friday. Have a great week, everyone.
For listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
Straight up real witches.
Relevant Podcast Network.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.